Well, good morning. Great to be with you. Well, that was good morning. All right, that's a little better. Jeez. This is supposed to be joyful to be here and to worship together, and what a joy it is to gather as the body of Christ as we worship our great Savior. This morning, I invite you to take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 5. I want to read to you verses 16 to 26. We'll be looking at verses 16 through 18, but to set the context in your minds, Galatians chapter 5, reading verses 16 to 26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy and drunkenness, carousing and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. As I read through verses 16 through 18, Paul describes the battle that takes place between the Spirit and the flesh, and the flesh in the Spirit. And this battle has been called the war within or a fight to the death. And I think that is a good way to describe the battle that does take place within, the battle between the flesh and the Spirit, the battle that as Christians, if we are in Christ and we are in union with Christ, we are all too familiar with and aware of. And while we are all too aware of this battle, of this war between the sinful desires that we have, or the remaining corruption, the remaining sin, and our desire to honor God, to please God, to glorify God, to become more holy, we understand the battle that takes place. And many believers are unaware of, or not sure of, or don't know what to do in gaining victory in this war. There are many defeats. There are many Christians who succumb to temptation and sin while not gaining any victory over their sin, not overcoming temptation and sin, and wondering, is there any hope? I mean, is there really any truth to what the Bible teaches about not being under the dominion or power of sin, because some keep going back to the same sins? They're constantly defeated. They're left without hope. They're left saying to themselves, I guess this is just the way I am. Why bother trying to fight sin when sin keeps reigning? And maybe you've asked questions such as, why do I keep getting angry all the time? Why am I so selfish? Why am I so prideful? Why do I have so many problems in my relationships? And yet the desire is to please God. The desire is to honor God. The desire is to kill sin, gain victory over sin. But again, so many Christians are defeated, and they're defeated time and time and time again. And you may hear things such as this. You must kill sin before it kills you. You must put sin to death. You must not let sin reign. And yet, you may be left wondering, well, how do I do that? I want to and I desire to kill sin before it kills me. I hate sin. I loathe my sin. I see how my sin not only affects me, but affects all of those around me. I see what it does not only to me, but to my family, my friends, my loved ones. And so many Christians want help in this battle. They want help in this war. Questions such as, well, how do I kill sin? How do I put it to death? And sadly, the answers they receive are not adequate. They're not sufficient. Sometimes they're not even biblical. I think one reason Christians struggle and battle with sin without defeat and without victory, and I said this last time, is because there is a deficient view and a deficient understanding of sanctification. How one is sanctified, how one becomes holy, how one grows in Christ, and I don't think we spend much time teaching on sanctification and understanding sanctification biblically. Therefore, many Christians are losing this battle with sin. And the very same thing was happening in Galatia to these believers. Again, go back to chapter 3. Let me remind you of what was happening, and the same thing is happening to many Christians today. Chapter 3, verse 3. And remember, Paul says, you began by the Spirit. Are you now being perfected in the flesh? So he says, you began well. You were set free from the bondage of sin, the tyranny of sin, by the power of the Holy Spirit in regeneration and in salvation. But now you are trying to obey God and please God and honor God in your own strength, by your own power, using your own resources. He says to them, are you so foolish? How can you do that? And this is what many Christians are doing today. This is how many Christians view sanctification. They understand that they were made alive by the Spirit of God, regeneration, in salvation. And now as they look to the Word of God and see how God wants them to live, they're trying to do that in their own power and their own strength, using their own resources. And that is why there is failure, that is why there is defeat, and that is why many believers just simply give up. Sanctification becomes about behavior modification, just performing external duties. It's all about conforming my behavior to the Word of God and what the Word of God teaches, and again, trying to do so in my own power and my own strength. Just reading a little booklet on sanctification, the author calls this Nike sanctification. You just do it. You remember the slogan for Nike? Just do it. And that's the way it is for so many Christians. Just try harder, do better, bear down, grit your teeth, and give it the old college try. So you have to understand, and I think you're, again, aware of this, there is a battle that takes place inside of you. And you understand this battle. It is the Holy Spirit against the flesh. You have a desire to be like Christ. You have a desire to be more holy, and yet you fight and you battle the remaining corruption in you, and you want to know, how do I do battle with this remaining sin and corruption? How do I overcome sin in my life so I can become more like Christ? Where do I receive and acquire the resources necessary to live a life that is pleasing to God? Where do I receive the resources to kill and to overcome my sin? And the answer in Galatians chapter 5 and in the scripture is the Holy Spirit. Please understand, the Holy Spirit is the one who sanctifies you. Now notice, as I read this morning, in this section, verse 16, we are to walk by the Spirit. Verse 18, we are to be led by the Spirit. Verse 25, we are to live by the Spirit. If you want to kill sin before it kills you, if you want to overcome temptation and sin, if you want to see victory over sin in your life, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what it means. You need to depend on or depend upon the Holy Spirit day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. You cannot defeat temptation. You cannot defeat sin if you simply rely on yourself and you are not relying on and depending on the Holy Spirit. But yet again, many Christians, this is what they do. They simply forget about the Holy Spirit. They don't know much about Him or His work or His power. And maybe one reason for that is we don't teach much on the Holy Spirit. We don't teach much on how the Spirit of God is at work in our lives, changing us and conforming us to the very image of Christ. Sanctification then becomes devoid of the Spirit. And again, as we try to do God's will, what we're doing is simply conforming our behavior to what God says, and we fail because, again, we don't depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit. So how does the Spirit of God begin to transform us and change us so that we can do that which pleases God? And I want you to listen carefully to this. This first and foremost takes place as you behold the glory of Christ. The more that you see the beauty and the majesty and the glory of Christ, the more you'll want to be like Him, and the more you will become like Him, and the more you will walk in Him. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3:18 and write this down, and I would go over this time and time again as a continual reminder of how the Spirit of God is working in you and through you to transform you into the image of Christ. Because that's sanctification. When we talk about sanctification, we're talking about you becoming holy. You becoming Christ-like. And that doesn't happen as you just try to conform your behavior to the Word of God. That's behavior modification. You'll always fail. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. You are to behold the glory of Christ. This is where sanctification begins. It's not just about principles in the Word of God, and again, conforming to those principles. First and foremost, if you are going to change and be sanctified, it begins as what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, is beholding the glory of Christ. Again, in this little booklet on sanctification, it says this, quote, holiness does not simply mean bringing our outward behavior into conformity to an external standard. You don't need the supernatural power of the indwelling Holy Spirit to do that. You just need strong willpower. The inward transformation of the mind, which is to say the character or the affections, will indeed work itself out an external behavior, but the transformation begins internally. End quote. So it is the Holy Spirit working in us and changing our desires, changing our affections, changing our hearts, so that we just don't do what God commands. Instead, we love to do what God commands. Again, this isn't the Nike sanctification, just do it. Just try harder, bear down, grit your teeth. No, instead, if we're changed first inwardly, then we will love to do what God wants us to do. We will love what God loves, and we will long to and desire to do what He wills, because our hearts and our minds and our affections are changed. So again, we love to do that which pleases God. And we can do that which pleases God because we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So as we think about sanctification, it's not that we just sit back and do nothing. Scripture is very clear. The Holy Spirit uses means to bring about this transformation in our lives. Philippians 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But don't forget at any moment and at any time that the Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. It is His work. It is His power for the glory of God. So if there is any victory over sin at any point and any time in your life, it is because of God's power through the Spirit of God as He works in us and through us. So yes, we're to pursue holiness. Yes, we're to pursue sanctification. But any time we see that there is victory over sin, it is all glory to God because it's His power on display through the Spirit of God. He gets all the glory. So I want us to think about this morning, to walk through verses 16 through 18. How can we pursue holiness? How can we overcome sin so that we may continue to walk in holiness? So verse 16 very simply says, you are to walk by the Spirit. You want to overcome sin? You want to defeat sin? You want to grow in holiness? Paul says, verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Result, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now again, as you read verses 16 through 18, we all know too well that at times we do carry out the desire of the flesh, don't we? Get angry with our spouses. We don't respond the way we should. And we even see this back in verse 15. What does it look like to carry out the desire of the flesh? It's when you bite and devour one another in the church. That's what it means to carry out the desire of the flesh. It's not to do that which honors and pleases God. So there is corruption that remains in you. There is indwelling sin that remains in you. Even after you come to faith in Christ, we still have this battle. We still have this struggle with sin. But if you're walking by the Spirit, verse 14, you will love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law is fulfilled in that one statement. You will, verse 13, through love, serve one another. That's what it looks like to walk by the Spirit. Remember that word serve there means slave. You're laying down your life for one another in the body of Christ. You're not biting. You're not devouring one another. You're not consumed by each other. So how do we do this? How can we get to that point where we do lay down our lives for one another, that we love one another as Christ has loved us? Verse 16, walk by the Spirit. Now I know you're thinking, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? How do I exactly walk by the Spirit? Here's what it means. It's not anything that's too hard or too difficult. It just means this. It means to rely on and depend on and yield to the Spirit's power day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. That's what it means. Say it again. To walk by the Spirit means to rely on and depend on and yield to the Spirit's power day by day, hour by hour, even moment by moment in your life. So again, the only way you can become more like Christ, the only way you can become more holy is when you rely on, depend on, and submit to, and yield to the Holy Spirit's power in your life. So 1 John 2:6, the one who abides in Christ ought himself to, and here's this word again, walk in the same manner as he walked. We are to walk as Jesus walked. We are to become more and more like Christ. How do we do that? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's why, again, Paul says we can fulfill the law of love. We can, in fact, fulfill the law of God. When I say the law of God, I just mean his word. If we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, he is the one who sanctifies us. He is the one who empowers us to do that which pleases God and which brings glory to God. So we are fulfilling the law of God. We are doing that which pleases God as we walk by the Spirit. And notice here, this is a command. Again, another imperative in Scripture or in Galatians. This is not some suggestion. This is not simply a good idea. The command is this, and it's in present tense, which simply means continually. You are to walk by the Spirit every single day. The word walk is in the, again, present tense, continuous action. This isn't a one-time event. And would you just recognize that sanctification? You're not just one moment zapped by God and you're just sanctified. You're just holy. It takes place continuously or progressively. So as we grow in Christ, as we're being sanctified in Christ, as we're walking by the Spirit, we're progressively being sanctified, progressively growing in Christ, progressively becoming more like Christ. And that's what you should see in your life. You should see, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are growing in holiness, that you are growing in godliness. And the more that you grow in holiness, the more that you grow in godliness, the more you'll be aware of your sin. That's the bad news. But the more you'll hate your sin, the more you'll see the holiness of God. So you are to walk in holiness. And that should be your desire. If you are in Christ, you should have a great desire to become more like your Savior. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. But you cannot do anything to please God unless you rely on and depend on and submit to and yield to the Spirit's power. Ephesians 5 says it this way, be filled with the Spirit. Same thing as walking by the Spirit. Again, day by day, moment by moment, submitting to the Holy Spirit's power and control. You say, well, how do I do that? How can I submit to, yield to the Spirit's power? Here's how John MacArthur explains it. He says this, quote, to be filled with the Spirit is to live in the consciousness of the personal presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, as if we were standing next to him, and to let his mind dominate our life. It is to fill ourselves with God's word so that his thoughts will be our thoughts, his standards, our standards, his work, our work, and his will, our will. As we yield to the truth of Christ, the Holy Spirit will lead us to say, do, and be what God wants us to say, do, and be. So this is why Paul, in Colossians 3:16, this is a parallel passage. It says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." If you want to be, if you want to walk by the Spirit, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, the means by which that takes place is that you are being saturated in the Word of God. You need to continually be saturated in the Word of God. And when you know the Word and you love the Word and desire to obey the Word, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and works in your life to conform you to the Word and the will of God. That is how sanctification takes place. I'll say that again. If you want to walk by the Spirit, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, the means by which that takes place is having your mind being saturated in the Word of God. When you know the Word and you love the Word and you desire to obey the Word, the Holy Spirit will take His Word and work in your life to conform you to the Word and to the will of God. Say, why? Because as you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, you will think often about Jesus Christ. You will think much more about Jesus Christ. And as you do, you will know Him more and more. And as you do that, you will be transformed and conformed to His image. And the more that you have the mind of Christ, and the more that you're allowing the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly, you will begin to see yourself submitting to, yielding to the Holy Spirit's power in your life. So just think with me this morning. I want you to think about this. I've been thinking about this a lot. This week, how often do you pray that the Holy Spirit would be at work in your life? How often do you pray that? How often do you think about that? Because again, I think that most of us, or at least many of us, just think sanctification is, here's the Word of God, now let me go do it. And you don't even think about the Holy Spirit. You're not thinking about, how do I yield to and submit to the Holy Spirit's power in my own life? How often do you recognize and give glory to God for the Holy Spirit's work in your life? How often do you depend on and yield to the Holy Spirit's work in your life? So again, I'm going to say this. The only way that you'll be able to please God is if you walk by the Spirit. And that is, again, moment by moment. Think about the decisions that you are making every day of your life. How often are you praying and asking God to do His work for His glory by the power of the Spirit of God? How often do you do that? And that's what you need to begin to do if you want to walk by the Spirit. It's this moment by moment. I've been thinking about this week. As I go through, it's easy sometimes, isn't it? When we get short with people or we get angry with people, we're not allowing the Spirit, if we're not walking moment by moment, thinking about yielding to and submitting ourselves to the Word of God and the Spirit of God and His power. So notice, if you walk by the Spirit, verse 16, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And again, that word flesh just simply means indwelling sin, indwelling corruption, the evil that resides in you. So don't forget there's this battle, there's this conflict of the remaining corruption that is within you that is opposing the Holy Spirit. But if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So walk in the Spirit. Let the Word of Christ dwell richly within you. And again, as you do, you will desire to become more like Christ because you will see Christ as all glorious. You're going to see Christ in His beauty and His majesty, and then you will start and begin to become more like Christ. And the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and conform you to the image of Christ. So Number one, you're to walk by the Spirit. Number two, you are to oppose the flesh. Again, this is a battle, verse 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So again, here Paul describes the war within. This is a battle that, if you are a Christian, takes place inside of you. And I want you to notice this. I want you to recognize this. I teach a lot on this in biblical counseling. All of your evil desires, thoughts, actions proceed from within you. In fact, the Bible says from within the heart. And the heart, according to Scripture, is the mind, the will, the desire. When you sin, it is because of what is in your heart. And even though we're redeemed, and even though we are in Christ, even though we are a new creation, we still have indwelling sin, indwelling corruption. And the Bible does tell us that we are to put those to death. We must fight, we must do battle. And there is good news, and there is bad news. The good news is, by the power of the Spirit, we can overcome sin. The bad news is this: you will fight this battle until the day you die. Sorry, it's just what the Bible teaches. There's no such thing as perfect sanctification in this life. If you think that is true, that you can be perfectly sanctified, come and see me. And if you're married, let me talk to your spouse. I'm not going to go there, but I've had some interesting ones in biblical counseling and interesting discussions, and I've told people, bring in your wife, bring in your spouse, I'll talk to them and we'll see how good you're doing. Look, this is a battle you're going to fight till the day you die. And you have to understand very clearly that there is a battle inside of you. Most of the time, what do? We blame sin on everybody else. The old adage, the devil made me do it. No, he did not. Or my spouse made me angry. Or don't you know what they did to me? And you blame, we call it blame shifting in biblical counseling. You're just blaming the shift on somebody else. Or maybe we were really good at this. We minimize our sin. Everyone else's sin is so much worse than our own. And we begin to feel really good about ourselves. Look at this person. Look at what they've done. I mean, I'm pretty good. I'm not that bad. You may want to jot this down. You are bad. No, that's not what it is. James 1:13. Jot this down. James 1:13 and following. Let no one say when he is tempted, that is tempted to do evil, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Again, it comes right from within. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. The issue is not with someone else. The issue is with you. If you're going to do battle with the enemy, you need to know who your enemy is. And we'll look at that in the upcoming weeks. How do we put sin to death? But for now, recognize this battle is inside of you. And again, we all know it all too well. In Romans chapter 7, you may want to turn there for just a moment. Paul describes this battle that takes place within. In a little more depth and a little more detail. You may be familiar with this section of Scripture. Paul describes this war that is going on in far greater detail here in Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I don't understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. I mean, you understand that if you're in Christ. Unbelievers don't struggle with this. They just sin all they want. There's no conflict. But we get this. For what I'm doing, I don't understand, verse 15, and I'm not practicing what I would like to do, and I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I don't want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I don't do, but I practice the very evil that I don't want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war. There's that word war. Waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members, wretched man that I am. Who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Notice, he says we are waging war against our sin. And we cry out with Paul that we want to please God, but there are times when we find ourselves giving in to our sin, and that is why we must walk in or by the Spirit so that we will not carry out the desires of the flesh. If you're going to do that, you need to recognize who your enemy is. You need to recognize and you need to realize how deceptive sin is. You need to hate sin in order to kill sin. Here's how Wayne Mack says it. Sin is deceptive. It wears masks. It's an ugly beast. But when it comes knocking on the door of our hearts, it's dressed up like a Girl Scout. Wants us to think that it wants only to sell us some cookies, when in fact it really wants to destroy us. We have to learn to rip off the disguises sin puts on in order to see how awful it really is, end quote. One of the reasons why there's so many defeats for so many Christians is they don't recognize how deceptive sin is. I don't think it's that bad. I saw that last time. They don't see how destructive sin is, and they're deceived by it, and that's why they are destroyed by it. So on the one hand, recognize this war is going to go on until you get to glory, but don't despair. The Spirit of God is at work in you to oppose your flesh, to oppose the sinful corruption that is in you. And as you walk by the Spirit, you will see change, you will see transformation, you will see progress. So here, the point is keep fighting. Fight back. Don't gratify the desires of your flesh. Remember, you have the Holy Spirit who is fighting this battle. So notice, the result of the battle is this. Verse 17, end of the verse, so that you may not do the things that you please. And again, you have the desire to obey God, you have the desire to glorify God, but you don't always do that, I don't always do that. Should give you some hope. And the hope is recognize that there will be times when you sin. That happens. That takes place. You don't do that which you want to do. But here's the glorious hope, is if you are in Christ, one day this battle, this war will finally end. It will be over. When you are in glory, you will be perfectly sanctified. No more sin, no more battle. The war is over. And Paul here ends with a warning. He says this, if you are led by the Spirit, verse 18, you are not under the law. So again, the point is this. If you go back to the law as a means of sanctification, again, that's the Nike sanctification. Just do it. Bear down. Grit your teeth. Try harder. Do better. Do more in your own power, in your own strength. You'll always be defeated. If you're here today and you just keep continually, you're continually defeated by sin, you're not walking by the Spirit, and it could be because you're simply trying to do this in your own power, in your own strength, and you don't recognize the work and the role and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you live under the law and as a means of salvation or as a means of sanctification, then you just think this, the law can sanctify you. No, the law cannot sanctify you. The law has no power to sanctify you. It is the Spirit who is at work within you to sanctify you, to change you, to conform you to the image of Christ. So here's how you need to look at this. The law, or the Word of God, shows you how to live for God, but the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers you to carry it out. Okay? The law of God, the Word of God, shows you how to live for the Lord, but it's the Holy Spirit who empowers you to carry it out. So you are to be led by the Spirit. Notice here, verse 18, you are to be led by the Spirit, to go in the direction He leads you. You say, well, how does the Holy Spirit lead me? Very, very simple. Through the Word of God. Okay? This isn't some mystical thing. I just sit down, Holy Spirit, lead me. Okay, and He's going to give you some direction. No, the Holy Spirit always leads by His Word. The Word of God tells you the direction you need to go, shows you the will of God. The Holy Spirit will empower you to go in that direction and glorify Christ. So you're to walk by the Spirit. And when you do that, you don't carry out the desire of the flesh. Sanctification is not instantaneous. It is progressive. Wayne Mack, in his book, one of his books, well, Fight to the Death in particular, summarizes what it means to walk by the Spirit, summarizes what we looked at this morning. And I want to read this to you because I think it's helpful. I think it helps us just to put it all together in summary fashion this morning. So let me read this to you. Walking by the Spirit involves relying completely on the Spirit for every aspect of the Christian life. Walking by the Spirit involves relying completely on the Spirit for every aspect of the Christian life. Walking by the Spirit means living in the consciousness of His personal presence in us and with us. Walking by the Spirit involves memorizing, meditating on, believing, and living God's Word, because the Bible is the Spirit's book. Walking by the Spirit means that you will think much about Jesus, because the Holy Spirit has come to glorify Christ. Walking by the Spirit involves trusting the credibility of the Holy Spirit, that He will do what He has said that He will do. Walking by the Spirit means you will be willing to do what the Spirit tells you to do in His Word. The believer who is walking in the Spirit must be willing to go where the Holy Spirit guides and leads him to go, and do what the Holy Spirit guides and leads him to do in His Word. He seeks to obey the Holy Spirit, and he trusts that the Spirit of God will give him the power to carry out the Spirit's directions. And walking by the Spirit means walking thought by thought, decision by decision, act by act, under the Spirit's control. So walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Father, this morning, we do thank You for Your Word, for Your truth. And we do recognize, Father, the battle that does take place within us, the battle of this indwelling sin and indwelling corruption. And yet, Father, you have revealed to us in your word how to do battle with the remaining sin and corruption inside of us. It is to walk by the Spirit. And I pray, Father, this week as we think about this, we would rely on, depend upon, yield to, and submit to the Holy Spirit's power in our lives, that we would be in submission to the Word of God, to your will, and in submission to the Spirit's power and control. Help us to have the mind of Christ. Help us to behold the glory of Christ, to see the majesty and the beauty and the glory of Christ, so that we may be changed and we may be conformed to the very image of Christ. And so by doing, we would be able to do that which honors you and pleases you, not in our own power, not in our own strength, but by your power through your Spirit, because our desire is that we would become more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.